And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So upon those first words, as Jesus was looking upon this poor wretch, and when he said unto him, Son, be of good cheer, then follow these last words, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He calls him man. That's also with a purpose. He reminded this man taken with the palsy that he had been created good and upright, that he had come forth from the hands of the Creator, adorned with his image, able, willing to walk, to labor, to do everything that the Lord desired of him. That was his life. But then the fall came, and now it is altogether different, because now I must speak to you, O man, about sin. And why do you have sin? Because he sinned. But why did he sin? Because he was a sinner. He was a sinner. And therefore he sinned. And therefore he had that multitude of sins. And what is now sin? That is such an evil. That is so heinous. That is so wicked. That dishonors God. That offends him greatly. That smites in his face. And it ruins our soul. Sin makes that awful separation between God and our soul. Oh, and then sin becomes the cause of all my misery. Then it is not sin in general, but the Lord Jesus said, thy sins. And you know what you do not hear from that man? That he disagreed. No. He was given to take it over. He owned his trespass. He did not deny. He did not object. He did not try to escape that burden. He did not come with excuses in anything like that. He bowed under it. Have you learned that lesson? Thy sins. But then the Savior goes further. He says, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So what had now been the greatest need in the life of this man? Not his bodily palsy, though that was a grievous cross. Never slight it. But the burden that pressed him down on the way to eternity was that weight of his sin. It was that handwriting that was written against him and that he in no wise could blot out. He could only add to that handwriting. That long list of grievous iniquity only became greater still. Oh, his spiritual trouble, his wicked heart, his innate corruption, that he could not solve. And now Jesus speaks to that case. So by the words of Jesus, we find out how it was in the heart of that man, even though we do not read a single word from him yet. But so it was in his heart. And always remember then, when Jesus speaks, when the Lord speaks, it speaks to our case. Either that we need it at that moment, or what was necessary to solve something in the past, or it will prove to be necessary yet for something that is to come. But now, man, thy sins are forgiven me. That is now the greatest treasure that you can receive here on this word, on this earth. This word is so rich, is so precious, is so delightful, that is now a treasure beyond compare. That is now that only comfort in life and in death. You know what he had to learn? Thy sins are forgiven thee. His tears could not wash away his sins. His prayers could not remove his iniquity. All his sighing, his crying, his thirsting did not in any way diminish that long list of grievous sins that was written against him. He could not do anything himself that had not given any rest. And here is a mark, yes. There is no rest to be found but in the place where the Father found rest, and that is in his Son, when the price was paid. Comes later yet. But then that sinner will not find rest outside of that Savior either. If there is some encouragement given, if there is something that the Lord shows his mercy or gives you a hope for the future, even those words, Son, be of good cheer. And yet, though it gives a reprieve, it will not be the found, it will not be the ground of your salvation. You cannot rest upon it for eternity. Oh, what you need is this word. Son, be of good cheer. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That is now the Lord speaking to our heart. That is now a word that the Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out all thy iniquity. That is now that surprising benefit that Jesus gives here. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. A benefit so unspeakable. A benefit that is now the blessing that he sought. The blessing that he needed. The blessing that he did not hope for. That he did not expect. Because it is far more exceeding and abundant that Jesus said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is comfort in life and in death. Where are now those sins? Do you know where those sins are? The Lord will remember them no more. Because he has taken all those sins and cast them behind his back. That's how Hezekiah expressed it. And then they disappear. They are buried in that sea of eternal forgetfulness, says one of the prophets. You know how it is then in your heart. As far as east from west is distant, he has all our sins removed. Son, be of good cheer. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And that is now the Savior's word, and that you can trust, that you can rely upon. And when the Lord says it at that moment, oh, then there is faith that comes along, because Jesus speaks with authority. And then it enters into the heart of that man that was taken with the palsy. You notice what is happening here. The Lord, by his Spirit, is beginning to shine more light upon that Savior. Earlier he had heard about him. And no doubt these four friends had told him about Jesus. But now he hears him speaking himself. He beholds him with that eye of faith and love. And you see, then there is more to be learned. Oh, yes. And we hope to see that yet, if the Lord grants it in the future. But for now, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That Jesus has said unto him, Son, that Jesus has said unto me, be of good cheer, and a sinful man, but my sins are now forgiven thee. That is a moment you will never forget in your life. That is a moment that shall remain with you. Reverend Heerschap used to say, you can wake me up in the middle of the night and I can tell you, man, thy sins be forgiven you. Oh, and now he hears through the mouth of Jesus, who was there here as the judge of his, on behalf of his Father, that he receives the acquittal in his own soul. That is because the Father's demands were met. The Father's justice was satisfied. And now he is reconciled with the sinner. And that sinner then tastes the peace. That sweetest drop, says Philpott, in the cup of blessings that the Lord gives unto his people. Communion is restored. Joy unbounded is in his heart. His sins are forgiven and righteousness imputed to him. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins. We come back to that because it is now a personal word giving a personal benefit to that sinner. That is not in general, no. That is now for me. And where was that man? At the feet of Jesus. We said the last time, lower he could not sink, no. But in his wonderment, he sank so low before the Lord. For me. Yes, for me, for such a wretch like me. Son, be of good cheer. Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. That is now the opening through Christ, that new and living way, to go unto the Father, to be reconciled and restored into that communion with him. Oh, then it becomes so true. How blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered like blood on the ark before the sight of heaven. Are there now such here this morning with those longings? Are there now such here this morning who recognize it? You say two different cases, yes. Two different cases. How must that now be solved? Look up. Look to that opening in the roof. And there were these four friends. I cannot tell you how it was in their life, except that the Lord had seen their faith. Now, could be one of the two that they knew experimentally about that benefit, and then you are strengthened and encouraged and gladdened that the Lord continues to give that benefit still. Can also be, and this was the beginning of the Lord's ministry, it is more likely that these four friends were spiritually in the same condition as that man, their friend, the one taken with the palsy, was just before. But what have they now heard? Oh, they have heard and seen with their eyes what the Lord has done for their friend. And that would give them hope. That would stir them up. Because how are they now saved? By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And not by works, But it is by that pure mercy, by that alone. If there are such here in the congregation or listening, then wait upon the Lord. Yea, I say, wait upon the Lord. He will surely come, and he will not tarry, young and old. What did we hear this morning? Those words, son, be of good cheer. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That is now the chief expression, the chief word in this history. And therefore pause and ponder. Meditate. But moreover, pray. Take it along in your petitions and beg the Lord that you now may also come to praise, to acknowledge him. Because here is now a benefit, a surprising benefit that is so great that we cannot miss. And it is still freely given. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who has a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. Amen.